Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, second hour today, friends. Great to have you with us here on Political Coffee, where we talk about the political issues of the day, whether they're local or they're nationwide, maybe even worldwide, and how you can use them to change your world by having meaningful conversations with a persuadable person in your world. So here's what we're talking about today. The primary thing is asking this question. Is your personal safety the most important thing to you? Is it? Because right now, your personal safety is under attack. Huh? Yeah, it is. By Democrats in the Oregon House and Senate that have introduced four bills, each of them slowly dismantling Oregon's Measure 11, which puts bad guys, violent criminals, away for mandatory sentences, no parole. And a judge could not give them a lesser sentence, because previously they could. Now, again, this is only for violent crimes or dangerous crimes. And there are and should be some tweaking with Measure 11. But why would a Democrat politician think it's good to cut the sentence for raping a woman at knife point from the current 8.3 years is the mandatory sentence for doing that? Why would you want to reduce it to 6.7 years or lower by giving a judge discretion? Why would you do that? What would be the effect of letting a bad guy out of jail, a violent rapist? What do you suppose would be the impact of letting him out of jail early? How about this? How about shooting and paralyzing somebody? Okay? You've shot somebody, you've paralyzed them. Under Measure 11, you go away for 7.5 years. But under one of these bills, that gets reduced to 6 years or lower. And how about this sick thing? The sentence for filming an adult raping a child under Measure 11 is too low for me, but it's 5.8 years for filming raping a child. These do-gooders want to reduce that to 4.7 years or lower. Why would anybody want to do that? Now, these are points that are made in the opinion piece that came out yesterday by the Washington County District Attorney and the Clackamas County District Attorney. And there's a companion story about in the Oregonian. Caller, hang on, I'll get to you in just a second. Oregon District Attorney's Group prepped for a political battle over Measure 11's mandatory minimum sentences. three of the district attorneys, the Oregon District Attorneys Association, opposes these measures. But three of the social justice warrior types, Deschutes County, Bend, John Hummel, Multnomah County, Mike Schmidt, and Wasco County, Matt Ellis. You know, Wasco, that really liberal place out there in the Dalles. Yeah, they would split with the organization and will support the changes to the law. These guys apparently think it's good to let somebody out of jail early who's raped a woman at knife point, who shot somebody and paralyzed them for the rest of their lives, who has filmed the raping of a child. Let's let them out of jail early. Why would anybody think those are good things? Now, I will tell you, there's only one party and only one group of people that are trying to pass these bills in the Oregon legislature. My guess is you will get zero Republicans on any of them. To vote for them, anyway. Nor should there be. This issue clearly defines right from wrong. It's wrong to do these things. The question is how long you put somebody in jail for them. Well, letting them out of jail early or giving judges discretion to dramatically impose lower sentences doesn't keep anybody safe. Senate Bill 1008 was passed 2 years ago. It says that a juvenile who murders someone cannot be tried as an adult and must be released at age 25. I've shared with you two high-profile stories over the last several months in Oregon where vicious, heinous teenage murderers were sentenced under this new law. One of them will be out of jail in 8 years. A sick-minded person for what he did. That kid gets to be released into your community. Three Republicans voted for that. And every chance I get, I try to remind them how stupid and how bad that was. The polling that we're doing right now and the polling I have done for years shows that this is the single biggest emotional issue we have ever seen in this state that moves voters. Emotional issue that moves voters. Key in on that. You want to change Oregon? You better start using issues that move the voters, Republicans. Let's go to the caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say?
Phone today. I hope it's
Is this
better.
Rebecca?
I wanted to remind everybody that Barack Obama used felons. He organized them into ACORN. And then he got government funding for ACORN, and it was James O'Keefe who blew that open. but you're doing a really good job of describing the network, and it's not by accident. They always do this. I'm not sure where it came from, but the Democrats used to run slavery, and I believe that this is a system that they devised during the time of slavery, that they have certain people in the society who are willing to commit all kinds of heinous things against certain groups of people. And they used to have the slave catchers who were their heinous people, and then they had torturers after they captured people. And it's I believe it's an old thing called tyranny that has been worked out for a long time. They know what they need to do to achieve their ends. And after the Republicans formed, they wrote the Declaration of Causes, which in the Declaration of Causes, it says that we're seceding from the Union because we have the right to own slaves. And these upstart Republicans don't respect our right to own slaves. And so it's the same exact attitude. They despise anyone who will come against them. And that's why they have developed what they call, the Democrats call them this, I'm not making this up, they call them yellow dog Democrats. And those are people who are, through fear or intimidation, will vote Democrat without any thought at all. Even if a yellow dog was running on the ticket, they will vote Democrat.
It wouldn't matter. So why? I'm just curious, why do you think that is?
Why do I think what is what?
Yeah, why do you think in human nature, because what you've just described is something that happened a long time ago, but it continues to this day. In fact, there are Republicans who do this too, by the way. But why do you, what is it about human nature, Becky, that allows that produces that kind of response? It doesn't matter if it was a literal yellow dog, if it had a D behind its name, we'd vote for it.
Well, it's what you're talking about. People want to preserve themselves. And if you can make it scary enough for them to vote Republican, they will definitely not vote Republican because they want to preserve themselves. They view the Republicans the way the Democrats have created, and they view the Republicans as evil. I keep pulling up Harriet Tubman. She said, I could have saved thousands more if I could have convinced them they were slaves. And that's so relevant today. People have been convinced through various things to view the world completely differently, but they still have that thing of self-preservation, and they believe what they are doing is preserving themselves. They don't understand what the Democrats are doing. And the Democrats have been doing this ever since the days of slavery. They did it with the Jim Crow. They're doing it now with BLM and Antifa. They do exactly the same thing all the time. And they love to raise up in the schools. They look for the kids who are the delinquents, and they get them identified, and then when they've committed crimes, then they protect them, and they use them. They use them as their. It's the class of people that they used to have that were under their thumb called slave catchers, and they reward them just enough to make it profitable. They used to use black people for this too. The black people were put in charge, and the most cruel black people were. Put in charge on the plantation to whip the other black people. It's called everybody has to watch out for themselves, and they'll do whatever it is.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Minutes past 7 o'clock. Now, not everybody agrees with me. Jarrus writes me an email. Yes, there is one thing more important than safety. It is salvation by the blood of Jesus through acceptance of him in your heart. Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Jarris. In all sincerity, I don't. I guess what I'm meaning is there any other political issue that's more important than your ability to defend yourself? And that's really what I mean by this. Okay. And then Dale writes me an email. Jeff, I've read that there are 14 prisons in Oregon and Queen Kate wants to shut 3 of them down. All of those in the AFSCME union that voted for Kate Brown are going to lose their jobs. Elections have consequences. Maybe these union workers can build solar panels for $15 an hour. Here's the question. If the Supreme Court says we can't sue those elected officials that passed these bills, can we sue them individually in civil court if somebody gets seriously hurt or killed because they let these prisoners out? I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. Maybe somebody in the audience can look at it for me, can try to figure that out before the show ends in, you know, 26 minutes or 36 minutes. It's a very good question. Being sued civilly, that's a good idea because you were damaged. Now, probably not, but who knows? Maybe it ought to happen. Maybe legislators would be a lot more careful. The Oregon District Attorneys Association, by the way, put out a report, and it's pretty lengthy. I will include it here today, but it one of the important things you need to know about this. When the voters passed this thing in 1994, violent crime rates in Oregon were at historically high levels, and that's true. Since the passage of Measure 11, violent crime dropped by over 50%, and it dropped to its lowest level since the 60s. Violent crime also declined nationwide during that period, but Oregon's violent crime rate declined more than anywhere else in the nation. And they have a graph that shows it. It's the FBI's chart. Now, the attack on this is that it's racist. The data proves just the opposite. Measure 11 addresses conduct, not your color. Racial disparities remain in Oregon's prison system. But that happened before Measure 11 was in place. Here's what's actually happened since Measure 11. Disparities in minorities have decreased. And this is from a RAND study that was done by Oregon's Criminal Justice Commission. Among the findings, the study concluded, while non-whites are in fact disproportionately represented within the offender population, there's no evidence Measure 11 has exacerbated. The data suggests the implementation of Measure 11 did not introduce a bias towards minority offenders. And in fact, 16 years later, another review shows the numbers dropped of minorities. There's data for that. Between the time Measure 11 passed and 2021, the prison population disparity for African Americans inmates in Oregon reduced by 50%. The disparity that existed for Hispanics was eliminated. and population disparity for Native Americans remained unchanged. So don't let anybody make the article, or the argument, rather, that it's because of racism that we need, and this is what they're doing, folks. They're jumping on the bandwagon of Black Lives Matters and social justice and criminal justice reform. That's what they're alleging. And it is absolutely not true. And the evidence is before your eyes. And I will show that to you, by the way. I'll have that as part of the show. To all you callers, hang on, because I don't have enough time to get to you. We'll go to the bottom of the hour break, and then I promise you we'll come back as soon as we get back. Anne Marie writes me an email, says, what is in human nature? Human nature defaults to this. I want what I want when I want it, no matter who I hurt. Only way around this is to train ourselves and our children. Otherwise, live differently. It matters. Yeah, it does. And I kind of go back to what Jairus says. You know, if you have made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't think that way, that you're going to get whatever you want and you don't care who you hurt to get there. That shouldn't be how it is. I mean, it should be how it is. We should care about the people around us. And you don't want to hurt people to get whatever you want. But human nature is that way, and it ain't good. And that's why we have Measure 11, because we have human beings that are flawed out there that become sick and become violent. And they're dangerous to everybody, including you and your family. Back in a moment. I promise I'll get to your phone calls. Hang on.
Haiti believers have light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of it.
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. We go right back to the phones. Oh, by the way, before I do that, you know those four bills that are introduced that effectively repeal Measure 11? One of them is from the Senate Interim Committee on Judiciary. This is the name of the committee. Interim Committee on Judiciary, for time does not fit the crime. Really? Time does not fit the crime. That's the actual measure. There's no Republican co-sponsors of any of these bills, and including one of them. One of these bills. It's sponsored by Kate Brown. In fact, the biggest, most wide-ranging one is sponsored by Kate Brown. And by the way, the summary from the Oregon District Attorneys Association report on Measure 11. If you rape a teenager today at knife point, you get 8.3 years. Under the proposed legislation, it's down to 2.8 years. Attempted murder, 7.5 years, down to 2.8 years. If you filming an adult raping a child, Measure 11 is 5.8 years, 7.2 months under the proposed legislation, 7.2 months or probation. In fact, all of these allow probation at a judge's discretion. You feel safe now with Democrats in control? To the phones. We'll start with Art. Art, good morning.
Hey, Jeff. And the big plan is to shut people like you, Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, down so that we won't know what's going on, or it'll be harder to know what's going on, which, you know, I understand why you had this topic today, but that's another thing that's coming down the pipe after that fantastic Times article about how you guys in the talk show realm you know, promote violence, etc., etc., and so it's most definitely really scary, Jeff. And let me clarify, because I, as you know, I do service prisons here in Salem.
Yeah, you do.
And
that's right.
Most of the guards and stuff detest, you know, our fearless leader, and they know how important the prison system is, and keeping these people locked down for as long as you can is important. I know that for a fact. But, you know, Jeff, we do have to address this other issue that's coming down the pike, because the left is going to try to shut our people down who give us real information, not fake information, like our newspaper and you know, the news media, which is, we're going to have to fight like hell, because, as you know, the Democrats are in charge of everything. And this is one of the things that has empowered, okay, the Democrats in our state to start pushing all this stuff.
Well, it will. We are going to have to fight that battle also. And it's, you know, what's going to happen in the federal government is precisely from Washington is going to be a renewed effort to shut us down at every level, because it's going to be deemed violent hate speech. And this is why both the federal courts are so important, but also why it's important for certain states to push back in court and constitutional sheriffs to simply say, we're not going to enforce any of these unconstitutional laws or executive orders from Kate Brown or Joe Biden. This is what has to happen.
Well,
even in a blue
state
like Oregon, our sheriffs could do this if they wanted to.
The one thing that scares me, though, Jeff, is the Democrats don't care about laws and rules and regulations. Look what our crazy president's doing with all these executive orders and stuff. You know, now the communications is controlled by the Democrats. I mean, these are absolutely scary times. And if we don't, I'm going to get arrested, but I'm going to say it, get up and fight. We're going down a hill that we don't want to go up. And it's never more important to get rid of these liberals who are slowly but surely destroying our country.
Yeah, you're right about that. Thanks, Art. Going to let you go because I'm going to move on to our next caller. Thanks, Art. Who's our next caller? Who are you, and what do you have to say on today's topics?
Hi, Jeff. This is Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. I was hearing myself, so it confused me for a second.
Yeah, but, that happens sometimes. Anyway, what are your thoughts today?
I think a lot of our problems that we're trying to answer can be understood in light of the Hegelian dialectic, if you're familiar with that. And you have, like, the society, say, a nice republic. You know, you've got a nice constitutional republic, and you have politicians that want to change that. So they push it off to, you know, an extreme. You create problems. You see a lot of going on, riots in different cities, Portland, for example. The constitutional republic would be the thesis, and the extreme that's going to is the antithesis. And so you push the society farther and farther to where the people are finally crying out and, you know, saying, help us, help us. And so then the government takes them to what they really wanted to take them to in the first place, and that would be the synthesis. You take it from there back to there, and there the violence and all the crazy stuff stops, and you have what they wanted. They wanted to take you from a republic to a socialist state, and so it changes it. And I think
Ken, let me ask you a question then.
Okay.
You bring up, I think, what is an interesting point. That has been the experience in many countries around the world and in world history, exactly what you've described.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't so far been the experience in America. In fact, it's been just the opposite. We've had revolutions.
Yeah, I think people don't understand it even.
So are we... What has happened in America that could make what you've just described actually happen here, maybe for the first time?
Well, these laws that we're talking about this morning, you know, them, you know, cutting back the, you know, the sentences of violent criminals and letting them out, the riots and things, they're provoking the society. They're making it unlivable. I think we're in that developmental stage where we're moving
what's the root of that? Why would anybody accept those laws in their life? What the Democrats are proposing to do right now by dismantling Measure 11 that makes you less safe. Why would anybody accept that that's okay? What's happened in human mentality in America that says that's okay?
There is, like was described by another caller, or you referred to them, in that spirituality is totally decayed. There's actually too many people that aren't paying attention to the condition of the society. We're, you know, like we're becoming more and more corrupt on all levels, political and personal, et cetera.
I think that that's a fairly accurate assessment. Ken, thank you for calling. Good stuff.
Okay.
It's a powerful point, and it is that government specifically chooses certain courses of action. For instance, not prosecuting 666 of the violent rioters and protesters in Portland out of 974 that were referred for prosecution. The DEA said, nope, 666 of them can go away. We're not going to prosecute. That leads to more violent behavior. There was violent behavior last night in downtown Portland. That hurts people. It gets people to the point where, because that's a concerted governmental action, people are then willing to accept things, other things that restrict their liberties or their freedoms as a result of it. Didn't used to be that way in America, but it is now, apparently. How do we stop it? Kathy, hang on. I'll get back to you on the other side of the break, 7:48.
There's no place that you can hide. No, no.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till 7 o'clock. Before I go to Kathy, got to read this email because it's right on the money. Mike writes, regarding Measure 11, not only do I not like the idea of letting felons out early, but I'm one of those who thinks raping of a child should come with the death penalty. If this issue is about trying to save money, perhaps we can trim the budgetary fat in other areas. I appreciate your show. Mike, well said. I frankly think the penalty for raping a child should be much bigger than what it is. But I got to tell you, the idea of filming it, an adult filming the raping of a child, is sick beyond belief. And that is something that maybe we ought to consider be worthy of the death penalty, especially if you're going to go sell that on the internet and make money from it. You're a sick person. You ought to be. Maybe you ought to just face the ultimate penalty, period. Of course, in Oregon, we don't put anybody to death because our governor unconstitutionally said, nah, we're just going to ignore Oregon's constitution. Kathy, you're back up. Thanks. Sorry it took me so long to get to you. Appreciate you waiting.
No problem. Okay, so I'm going to try to stay out of the weeds, but my family came here from Massachusetts on the Oregon Trail. My grandmother's sister made a ton of money in the dairy industry in Hillsboro. She had somebody do a history of our family, and they had diaries. And one of the stories in the diary was that there was a guy here in Oregon that got in a fight at a bar and killed somebody. He pleaded guilty, and they were going to hang him. Now, this was like in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm, right.
And he said, if you'll give me my rifle, I'll do it myself. So he went out and he blew his head off. Otherwise, they were going to hang him. I don't know how that fits, but your whole conversation for the past couple hours reminded me of that story that people used to know what was right and wrong, and I think the mercy was, instead of hanging him, they let him do it himself.
That's an interesting point. You know, back then you had a different system of justice. It was still based on law, but it is, I mean, the point you're making is interesting in that he wasn't absolved of his crime.
Right.
He was allowed the ultimate punishment by his own hand.
Right.
What we're faced with today, Kathy, is, as you know, is the opposite of that. Is right. That the law says you should be punished for something heinous, but we're going to give a judge the discretion to say whether you actually serve any time or you just get probation for heinous stuff. Like raping someone at knife point or an adult raping a child and filming it. You might even get probation because that's what the bills say.
Yeah.
How can that be right, Kathy?
It's not right. It's just absolutely not right. So there's really no excuse. It just, the topic reminded me of this story that I read in the book of our family.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Okay.
It's an interesting story. It's how much we've changed in America, at least in terms of how justice is dispensed. but the principles are still the same, right? It's wrong to do some of these things. Didn't matter whether this guy was in a bar and he got drunk and he killed somebody. You were tried by a jury most of the time, although there were lynch mobs, which is wrong. You were tried by a jury, but at least the judge there let this person make the decision. You're either going to hang, we're either going to hang you, or since he requested, here's a gun, go out and blow your head off. Either way, you had to pay the price. Today, we don't want to let them pay the price because it's either racist or it's just too mean and too cruel. Cruel and unusual punishment. I got a text from a friend that says this. Today's topic hits me strongly because as the mother of a 17-year-old daughter who was violently raped prior to Measure 11 in 1989, this rapist continued to assault an untold number of younger and younger females until 5 years later he was finally arrested and charged for raping 12 and 13-year-old girls who he coached in soccer. After the grand jury met, 9 women came forward to testify against the former U of Oregon basketball player David Hurley. I'm going to make sure I've got that name right. It's David Gurley, actually. The charges promised a sentence of 75 years. Unfortunately, Lane County DA plea bargained a reduced sentence to 3.5 years. The victims were so frightened they'd have to endure testifying all details in court in front of the rapist and their parents, they agreed to the plea deal. David was released from prison 1.5 years later. He's back to youth minister status in our area. Now, this is from a woman that I know is a godly woman and who believes in the power of redemption and forgiveness. And I do, too. I don't know if this man is truly sorry and repentive for what he did. I guess that's only for God to know. But you see, friends, it doesn't matter whether you've repented or not. If you did the crime, you should do the time. Period. Because at some point, the law becomes meaningless if you let them out early for not doing enough time for the crime. So I hope today's discussion has been of some value to you. Because if we really, truly, I mean, elections have consequences, folks. We have to start winning elections. And we have to start using issues like this. And we have to boil it down to the most emotional point everybody gets and understands. And that's simply, what's the most important thing to you? Is it your personal safety? Why would you allow anybody to let the bad guys out of jail so they can hurt you? Why would you vote for them? Stacey Ann's up next. Good morning, Salem. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow on Freedom Friday.